Let us go before our God together now in congregational prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, to thee we cry. To thee we cry from hearts that have been renewed by the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. To thee we cry in the midst of all of our death and sin and corruption. To thee we cry in the midst of all of our needs and afflictions and suffering and struggling, amidst all of our contention and battling, amidst all of the enmity that troubles our way here below. To thee, O Lord, we cry from the valley of tears and from out of the valley of the shadow of death. And indeed, we are in that valley. Just as the sheep passing through that valley of shadow, that stank of the enemies that would tear and rend them, that was characterized by trouble and affliction and danger, so that the shadow over the valley of those sheep was not merely some darkness, but indeed the shadow of death. So we, in our earthly sojourn here below, smell the stink of the wolf and the bear and the devil. See the peril in which our souls lie day by day. We cry unto thee, Father, from this valley, for thou art the shepherd, and in Jesus Christ has given to us the good shepherd and set up one shepherd over us. And just as the sheep in the valley of the shadow of death would fear no evil, for thou art with them, and thy rod and thy staff do comfort them, so we, as the sheep of thy pasture in the midst of our valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. For thou hast shown us the love of the good shepherd who knows us, who knows us, so that even though no man in the world knows us, so that even though no friend in the world has compassion upon us, nor understands the grief and affliction that attend our way, our Lord knows. The Good Shepherd knows. He knows us and causes us to follow him, fearless. Though sheep, also soldiers upon a battlefield, fearless and bold, for thou art with us. We pray, Father, that thou wilt look upon us in mercy as thy people, that thou wilt remember us. Pray this day especially for our elders and our deacons. We pray that thou wilt be with Elder Van Baron and Elder Engelsma, with Deacon Boverhoff and Deacon Gritters and Deacon Ophoff. That thou be with these men who have laid down their lives for the sake of the gospel, and whose names are held up to all the world as an object of scorn and ridicule and hatred. Who have lost the whole world and all of the place and position that they might have had in the world, and who have lost it all for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who are the first to confess, looking back at all their loss, that they would have it no other way, and that all of their standing, all of their leading was not them, but the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ who guided them, and through his guiding of them has guided us. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt be with all of thy believers, all of thy people, who are pressed on every side, who find their place so small in this world, who find that in many quarters of their life, they have no place left and are cast out. Sustain us, Father, as we lose and lose and lose all that we are. And, Father, even as we pray that thou wilt bless us and sustain us in all of this, we also thank thee for the privilege, the great privilege, the unimaginable privilege that we could not have anticipated a year or 5 or 10 ago. And yet thou hast given us the privilege that thou hast given to thy church through the ages of suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. Our Lord himself tells us and opens our ears to hear him tell us, rejoice, be exceeding glad, shout for joy and leap when ye suffer for righteousness' sake. And we do, Father, we do. For all our suffering, even to the shedding of our blood, if it should come to that, all our suffering is attended by thy blessing and not thy cursing. For the Good Shepherd, who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, walked that valley himself. And his walk through that valley was attended by thy curse that we deserved, but that in thy love for thy people thou didst lay upon him, so that now we in all of our suffering are blessed and only blessed. We thank thee that we may gather together for worship again this evening, that thou hast called us again into thy house. We pray, Father, that thou wilt bless our worship, that it may be to the glory of thy name. For what in all of the world is there besides the glory of thy name? pray that thou wilt cause us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that thou wilt open to us tonight the scriptures. Open to us the truth as it is in Jesus. That thou wilt open our minds to understand and apprehend and know the things that thou hast freely given to us, and that we may know these things together. Grant unto us that we may be like-minded among one another according to Christ Jesus, that we may know the truth and hear it. In hearing the truth, may we be given to see with the eye of faith our Lord Jesus Christ and thy love for us in him. Be with thy servant who brings thy word, strengthen him, sanctify his lips, that he may proclaim, thus saith the Lord. I pray that thou wilt open our ears to hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that with one mind and one mouth we may glorify thee, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember us in all of our weakness. Remember those who are not able to attend tonight. We pray thy blessing upon Rich and Sylvia. Continue to remember the Van Barens and thy mercy, especially as Mrs. Van Baren's strength continues to wane and fade. Give comfort and peace. Give assurance and confidence of the life hereafter and of the inheritance reserved in heaven for us that fadeth not away. And prepare all of us, Father, for our home going, that as we face the last enemy, death, we may have confidence and peace Him who is life and light and salvation. We pray that thou wilt be also with those who listen in through the use of technology, those who in our own area are unable to go to church, yet face tremendous pressure with regard to showing up here. Wilt thou sustain them, encourage them, give the boldness of the righteous, the boldness of the Lion of Judah's tribe, and a Sabbath day's blessing. And be with those who listen in from far. Wilt thou give them instruction too. Remember them in thy mercy, that they may have wisdom from on high in these dark days. We pray, Father, that thou wilt forgive all our sins, washing them away in Jesus' blood. We thank thee for our Savior. We thank thee for his atonement. Thank thee for his righteousness, his purity, his holiness, which all are counted as ours and imputed to us by thee, so that we stand in thy sight utterly clean, without any guilt. We pray that thou wilt also sanctify us by thy Spirit, whom our Lord has won for us and bestowed upon us, that we may more and more hate our sin, despise it, may more and more love thee. These things we pray as we cry unto thee, not in our name or worth, but in the the name and worth of Jesus Christ, and therefore confident also that thou wilt hear us and answer us for his sake. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The one offering this evening is for the building fund. Psalter number 203. We'll sing the five stanzas, all five of 203. Turn in God's Word tonight to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles, and laud him all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in whom shall the Gentiles trust? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have, therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that, when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. This is the word of God, holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. Our text is verses 5 through 7. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the text before us tonight is about the unity of the church. That's evident from the language in the text. It's evident on the surface of the text that the text is about unity. Paul prays that God would grant the saints to be like-minded. That's unity. Verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. That's unity. Verse 7, receive ye one another. That's unity. The text before us tonight is about the unity of the church. How thrilling. How thrilling. How spiritually exciting for the church of Jesus Christ. You know that, don't you? We know that thrill, that spiritual thrill together, don't we? As we come into the house of the Lord, and as members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoy the unity, the true unity of the church. It could almost make us weep with tears of joy, and tears of gratitude to have this unity as God's people. Now, there are many ways we could speak about the unity of the church, many ways that the scriptures speak about the unity of the church. The scriptures speak about the spiritual unity of the church, that is, our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, our unity together in Christ, and this passage does touch on that, especially in verse 7. We could also speak about the ecclesiastical unity of the church, and our willingness and desire and eagerness to join together with other true congregations of the Lord Jesus Christ that confess the truth according to the Reformed faith. But the unity of the church of which our text speaks is a very specific and special unity. It is the unity of being like-minded. The unity of being like-minded. That's Paul's prayer. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. And that like-minded unity of the church is a precious gift of Jehovah to his church. He grants to us that we may be like-minded. And it is that unity of like-mindedness that we consider this evening and thank God for this evening as we consider this text under the theme, God's gift of like-mindedness. In the first place, consider the gift. In the second place, consider the purpose. And in the third place, consider the fruit. God's gift of like-mindedness, the gift, the purpose, and the fruit. Paul refers here to the unity of the church, that is, her like-mindedness. God grant that ye be like-minded. This is a gift of God that has to do with our minds. And the mind of a man is that faculty in a man by which he knows things, by which he apprehends things and understands things. Just as this morning we saw that there is a faculty in man called his will, by which he determines things and makes decisions and judgments, so in man there is a faculty called his mind, by which he knows things and understands things. And again, in the church world today, it is out of fashion for the church and the individual Christian to know things and to exercise that faculty given him by God to know things. It is in fashion in the church world today not to know things, to be ignorant of things. It is in fashion in the church world today not to read things, not to strive to apprehend the issues that are going on in the church world today. It is in fashion to be in the dark about everything that's going on. What is in fashion in the church world today is feelings, not the exercise of that faculty of the mind in knowing things, but in feeling things and in being driven by emotion, in being driven by what we like or what we don't like, not by what is true over against what is false. In fact, there is much work done in the church world today in order to keep the church from exercising that faculty of the mind, to keep the church in the dark, so that the most weighty decisions that you could imagine are all done under the cover of darkness and are not brought out into the light. It's not fashionable in the church world today to know things. And that effort to keep the church from knowing and from willing things is really hierarchy in the church. Because somebody is knowing things, and somebody is willing things, but that somebody must not be you, must not be the members of the church, or even the office bearers of the church. You all be ignorant. You all don't make up your mind. You all sit on the fence, and a few of us will tell you what to do and what to think and what to decide. That's not according to the work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in his church, who causes his church to know with her mind the truth and to judge and decide with her will for the truth against the lie. How is it that the church knows things? The church knows things by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, so that when Paul refers to the like-mindedness of the church and the mind of the church that is going to know things in the church, he is referring to the work of the Holy Spirit, who illuminates our minds and causes us to understand the things of God, so that we apprehend God himself and apprehend his truth and know what he has revealed. The scriptures speak of that in 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul writes regarding the wisdom of God, which he speaks unto the Gentiles this: but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit given to the Lord Jesus Christ and poured out upon his church, that Spirit dwells in us, and that Spirit touches our minds and renews those minds, and that Spirit illuminates our minds so that the child of God knows the things that the Spirit brings to him. He knows the deep things, the amazingly deep things of God himself, which the Spirit himself searches out, so that just as the spirit of a man knows the inner thoughts and the inner will of that man, so the Spirit of Jehovah knows the inner thoughts and the inner will and the eternal will of Jehovah God. The Spirit is given to us to illuminate us, that we may know those things of God. The spirit that we are given is not the spirit of the world that is ignorant, that is unknowing, and cannot apprehend any of the things of God. But the spirit given to us is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by which we know all things and by which we judge all things. Just as it is the spirit who touches our will and who gives us the willing and the doing of the things of God, so it is the spirit who touches our minds and illuminates them and gives us the understanding of the things of God. That truth of the Spirit's illumination of us is taught in the Canons of Dort, Heads 3 and 4, Article 11. Canons of Dort, Head 3 and 4, Article 11. But when God accomplishes his good pleasure in the elect, or works in them true conversion, he not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them, and powerfully illuminates their minds by his Holy Spirit, that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God, but by the efficacy of the same regenerating Spirit pervades the inmost recesses of the man. He opens the closed and softens the hardened heart, and circumcises that which was uncircumcised, infuses new qualities into the will, which, though heretofore dead, he quickens. From being evil, disobedient, and refractory, he renders it good, obedient, and pliable, actuates and strengthens it, that like a good tree it may bring forth the fruits of good actions. God illuminates our minds by his Holy Spirit, that we may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God. The child of God has been given a mind. That mind is renewed and actuated by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that we know as God's children with our minds? What we know is all of the things that were written before time. Verse 4 of Romans 15, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Holy Spirit illuminates our minds so that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we know all of the things revealed in the Scriptures. These are all of the things that God has given to us of himself to know about him. The Spirit takes these Scriptures, takes this Word of God, and illuminates our minds by this Word so that we understand the truths that are written here. When Paul speaks of the mind and the like-mindedness of the church, he is speaking about the church's knowledge and apprehension of the Scriptures. That means that the Apostle Paul is speaking about sound doctrine. Paul is speaking about the truth. The thing we know with our mind is the truth of the Word of God. And that truth of the Word of God is described in the text as according to Christ Jesus. The God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That's the sound doctrine. That's the heart of all of the truth. That is the truth itself. He is the truth himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is what God has revealed in the Word of God and what he illuminates our minds to know by the Holy Spirit. So that when we speak of knowing the truth with our minds, we mean knowing Jesus Christ. And what is that truth of Jesus Christ? It is everything revealed in the Word of God about God. The truth of Jesus Christ is that Jehovah God from all eternity, according to his sovereign good pleasure and counsel, has decreed all things that shall come to pass. It is the truth that Jehovah God, by his sovereign decree, has chosen his own to be his and has rejected all others. The truth is that Jehovah God has decreed that for his glory in Jesus Christ, through the body of Jesus Christ, which is his elect church, there would be a human race that would fall into sin and rebellion against Jehovah God. That's the mind and the revelation of Jehovah God too. God has decreed that through the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ into our flesh and his suffering under Pontius Pilate and all his life long, and pouring out his life's blood upon the tree of the cross, he would redeem his church to himself out of every nation, tribe, and tongue. The mind and revelation of God, which we know the truth of Jesus Christ, includes then our own depravity, our own helplessness, our own death in trespasses and sins by nature. So that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen in Christ to be his body and to be to the glory of God, that church cannot help herself to become the church. She cannot gather herself or defend herself or preserve herself. She is helpless and weak, but the Lord Jesus Christ is strong, that all of the glory for the church's gathering and salvation might be to Jehovah God alone. The truth of Jesus Christ includes the truth of the covenant of God, which he has established with his people in Christ, the fellowship in which he lives with them, the family life that he takes us into through our head and mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of Jesus Christ includes his return on the clouds of glory, when all of the counsel of God has been accomplished, and when the Lord Jesus Christ has executed that counsel to its completion, perfect in every way, the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the clouds of glory to destroy all the workers of iniquity, to punish the enemies of the church, to raise the dead, and to bring his people into everlasting fellowship with him in glory in heaven. All of that is the truth that God causes us to know with our minds. All of that is the sound doctrine of the things that were written aforetime in the scriptures, that by his Spirit he causes us to know. All of that is in this word, mind, in the text. Paul's prayer is that you may be like-minded. That means that sound doctrine of the Word of God, that truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that all of us together as members of the church understand and apprehend that truth. The idea of like-mindedness is not this, that every man and woman and child in the church has the same capacity or intellect for understanding things, but the idea is this, that everyone in the church knows the Lord Jesus Christ according as he is revealed in the scriptures, knows the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ according to that revelation, and stands for that truth over against every lie that militates against that truth. So that in our speaking together and worshiping together, we share a like mind and know the same things, the things that are freely given to us of God in his word, the things that he has caused us to apprehend by his Spirit. I pray God may grant you, says Paul, that you all be like-minded among each other, according to Christ Jesus. The implication of this like-mindedness is that schism in the Church of Jesus Christ division in the Church of Jesus Christ is because of a departure from that mind, a departure from sound doctrine, a departure from the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Schism in the Church of Christ is not this, that there is a man or a family or 10 in the church who depart from the groupthink that characterizes the rest of the congregation. That's not schism. That's not division in itself. The like-mindedness of the church is not this, that everybody happens to think the same thing, even though that same thing that we all think might be the wisdom of man or might be a lie out of hell. That's not like-mindedness in the church. Like-mindedness in the church is that we have the Spirit of Christ who causes us to know the Scriptures according to Jesus Christ and the truth of sound doctrine. So that if there is a man in the church who thinks differently from every other member of the church, but his thinking is the thinking of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and the thinking of the whole rest of the church is the wisdom of man, which is earthly, sensual, devilish, then division and schism in the church is not because of that one man, even though he's all alone in what he thinks. The division and schism in the church is due to the wrong thinking of the rest of the congregation. When Paul prays that ye may be like-minded, it's to be like-minded according to Christ Jesus. And that also illustrates for us then, or highlights to us rather, the awful sin of false doctrine and toleration of false doctrine in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's an awful sin, because false doctrine is not like-minded. False doctrine takes away from the knowledge of the truth according to Christ Jesus. False doctrine divides the members of the church away from Christ as he is revealed in the Scripture, divides the members of the church away from the truth as it is in Jesus. That's an awful sin in the Church of Jesus Christ. And it is a constant temptation and a constant threat to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be like-minded according to Christ Jesus is to deny self. To be like-minded according to Christ Jesus is to leave no boast for you or for me, none. To be like-minded according to Jesus Christ is going to lead to casting out and the reviling of the name of the church that is like-minded. Because the church that is like-minded according to Christ Jesus, according to sound doctrine, is going to be a church that cannot tolerate the lie. It's going to be a church that stands ready to rebuke the lie, to rebuke every teacher of the lie. And that church will not be popular. That church will be despised. It has always been so. And the Lord himself walked the earth. And when the Lord himself rebuked the liars, the teachers of the lie, in the church itself, they cast him out, as they did to his prophets before him, and as they have done to his servants after him. There's a constant threat that the Church of Jesus Christ does not want to be like-minded according to Christ, but like-minded according to the wisdom of this world. That sin of false doctrine is a horrible sin in the Church of Jesus Christ. This like-mindedness, then, can only be a gift of God. Like-mindedness is not something that the congregation can produce by her own diligent study. There ought to be diligent study, but that diligent study will not produce like-mindedness. The Church of Jesus Christ cannot produce this like-mindedness by her own determination to be like-minded. When the Church of Jesus Christ begins to rely upon herself to make this like-mindedness, then the only path for the church is to make a false like-mindedness, and a like-mindedness that keeps peace at all costs, a like-mindedness that never riles anyone up, a like-mindedness that doesn't cause any disturbing in the church. This true like-mindedness, according to Christ Jesus, is a gift of God. And Paul says so, the apostle of Christ says so, when he writes, "I pray that God may grant you, that God may grant you to be like-minded." God grants that like-mindedness by His Spirit and by His Word. That's how God creates the like-mindedness in the church, by His Spirit and by His Word, so that what your mind knows is not the illumination and the light that you found yourself or that I found, but the illumination and the light that God gives by His Spirit and by His Word. Paul says about this like-mindedness as a gift of God, that God would grant you to be like-minded one toward another, or among one another, literally in one another, according to Christ Jesus. The idea is this, that the Church of Jesus Christ, who has that like-mindedness according to Christ, has that among one another. The Church of Jesus Christ recognizes that like-mindedness, recognizes that truth, that sound doctrine, that is the love of the church. She recognizes the confession of that like-mindedness in the members of the church. She recognizes that through the confessions that the Spirit has led the church into, so that although the confessions are not inspired, they are a faithful exposition of the doctrine of the Word of God. The church confesses those things together, and in confessing those things together, recognizes the like-mindedness that God has given her one among another. She recognizes that like-mindedness and the suffering that she endures together for the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason that God is called here the God of patience and consolation, and that the Scriptures are called, in verse 4, the Scriptures of patience and consolation, because the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that stands upon the truth with the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and stands over against every assault on that truth, that church will suffer. That church will be cast out. Those members will be persecuted. The God who gives you the Spirit of Christ the Scriptures is the God of all patience. The God who causes us by His grace to endure. To endure. Something we couldn't imagine. Not in our strength. To endure the loss of all things. To endure the loss of those things on this earth that are precious to us. To endure the loss of a friendship. To endure the loss of family. That's unthinkable in our strength. But Jehovah God, who brings to us like-mindedness in the truth, is the God of all patience, which means enduring. A God who bestows upon us that enduring, so that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of God, can bear that loss. And He's the God of all consolation, the God of all comfort. And how we find Him to be so, how we find His gospel, His truth, to be a refuge, how we find that like mind among one another to be a haven in the midst of all kinds of suffering. The God who makes us like-minded is the God of all patience and all consolation through the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. God's purpose in making us of like mind is stated in verse 6. The purpose is that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of this unity in doctrine, the purpose of being like-minded, is the glory of God. It is blessed to be like-minded. We enjoy that like-mindedness one among another. We find a refuge in that truth together so that our spirits are built. We are strengthened by that truth. But the purpose of our like-mindedness is not, first of all, the happiness that we may have here. The purpose of that like-mindedness is, first of all, that we may glorify God together. After all, the truth that is the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth of God. And the salvation that we have in that truth and by that gospel is the salvation of God. And all of this like-mindedness is His gift to us, so that the church of Jesus Christ is gathered together in this like-mindedness for the purpose of glorifying Him. And we glorify Him together with one mind and one mouth. One mind knowing the truth, believing that truth, and with one mouth confessing that truth. When Paul speaks of glorifying God with one mind and one mouth, he is not limiting that to the worship service, to the few hours of the week that we are together in the worship of the church. But that even when we depart from here and live among our families, and live in our place of employment, and go to our schools, even there, with one mind and one mouth that we have here, we glorify God out there. There's a unity in the truth. a one-mindedness and like-mindedness in the truth that is manifest even in our daily living, so that those who see us and those who hear us, those who pick our brains to see what is in our minds, can see that there's a unity and a oneness in the truth as it is in Jesus Christ, and a confession of that truth. And that glorifies God. It glorifies God when it is pleasant for us in this refuge to glorify Him together. And it glorifies God when it is unpleasant for us, when we are alone or seemingly alone in our stand out there, and yet not alone. We are united with the Lord Jesus Christ and have His mind. In verse 6, when Paul is explaining the purpose of this like-mindedness, he says that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That can be translated this way, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul is giving there with that phrase, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a confession of faith. That's a formula, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a formula that a church might confess, so that on a Sunday evening, the church might stand up together and say that formula as a confession of its faith, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way that we as a church in our day stand up together on a Sunday evening and say that formula that is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Paul is working here with a creed. He's working here with a confession and a formula of a confession. And the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ contains all of the truth of the Word of God. That's the whole truth of the whole revelation of the Word of God right there. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty, and He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the center of His entire counsel, and in whom all things find their purpose according to the good pleasure of God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a shorthand way of confessing the whole revelation of the Word of God. And that's significant in this text, because this verse is teaching us the purpose of our like-mindedness. And the purpose of our like-mindedness is that we praise God with one mind and one mouth, that we praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What this teaches then is that Jehovah God is glorified by the truth. He's glorified by the truth. He does not only give us the truth of His Word to teach us, it is for that, it's for our learning, verse 4, but He gives us the truth because with one mind and one mouth confessing that truth is to the glory of God. That shows the intimate connection between the worship of Jehovah and the doctrine of Scripture. There can be no true worship without true doctrine. Worship with false doctrine is false worship. Worship with false doctrine does not glorify God. That too is the awful sin of false doctrine. When it is introduced into a church in the preaching of the gospel, or when it is introduced as it has been in past years, the past history of the church, through the singing of songs that contain false doctrine, the singing of man-made hymns that are not sound in their theology, that singing and that preaching does not glorify God. It is not worship, not the worship that God commands. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is given the truth and made like-minded in that truth, not only for herself, but that she may glorify God by the confession of that truth. And the fruit of this like-mindedness, verse 7, is that we receive one another. That's the calling that Paul gives, "Wherefore receive ye one another." That calling is also the fruit of this like-mindedness. We receive one another. Paul roots that in Christ himself. Christ received us to the glory of God. Christ received us. The Lord Jesus Christ received you and me, who are not like-minded, not by nature. He received us in his mercy, who were by nature enemies of his. Not just this, that we were indifferent, but we were enemies of his. He received us in his love as the possession of the church that his Father gave to him. He received us by his atonement, by the shedding of his blood to cover all of our earthly mindedness, to cover all of our temptation to false doctrine and sin. He received us by his own work, by his own blood. He received us. And because he has received us, because he has received us, we also receive one another in love and compassion. Have you ever thought about what we are as a church? And who are members of this church? Some who didn't even know each other by face or by name until we first showed up together in a worship service some weeks ago. You know who else we are? Many of us, most of us, and by now all of us, would not be received in a respectable church. And if the church heard that you with your family were thinking about joining that church, the church would say, "Can't they go somewhere else? Can't they find somewhere else?" That's who we are, as the Church of Jesus Christ. How is this going to work? This way. God grant that ye be like-minded according to Christ Jesus. God grant that you have the truth and sound doctrine. You stand upon that sound doctrine. That's what causes us to receive one another. That's what causes us to love, to come to the Lord's house, and see these families and these members again, worship Jehovah together. The church's temptation is always to forget that, and always to think that receiving one another depends on who we are. Receiving one another depends on respective persons. That's never what receiving one another depends on. That's not how Christ received us. And none of us would have been received. He received us in his mercy and love. And now, being received by him, we turn to one another and don't say to one another, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" Dare we say that about one who has been received by the Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy and by his blood? And we know and we see already that fruit that the Lord gives to us in making us like-minded. We love to see one another, love to confess that truth that he has given us together, to glorify him, as we say together, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, having partaken of the body and blood of our Lord together this morning, being united together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, being like-minded, receive one another as Christ Jesus hath received us to the glory of God. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this evening. Bless it to our hearts. Apply it to us that we may have that like-mindedness in the gospel of our Savior. We pray, Father, that thou wilt ever give us this truth. Stand us upon it. Cause that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. For Jesus' sake.